Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, hey, it is a good day today, and I'm very, very excited because we have some awesome news to announce to you. One, we have the opportunity to bring on a new elder, but that process is through vetting. And so I mentioned this last week when we were in person or online. Now we're in person. I want to share it again. But we have an elder candidate. His name is Greg Ishmael. And Greg's wife, her name's Jean, and they're just an incredible couple. They've been attending here for the last couple of years. He actually was in ministry, and they were in ministry as pastor. He led a church in Oregon, in Washington, and very thankful for that tenure in ministry for almost 35 years. And then also before that, he was a fireman. So, you know, you've got that whole illustration of rescuing lives, saving lives, loving people, and Jesus. And so we want to bring that before you because we've vetted, we've walked through the process with them. We bring it before the staff, before the church. And so you can email elderteam@rockharbor.tv if you have questions about what that means, if you have questions about his character. We need dirt on the dude. We've been looking fervently, and we haven't found any. And his wife's incredible, and they currently serve as missionaries with Global Training Network, planting churches a couple of places, one Kenya, and then one you'll hear more about next week in Cambodia. And so we love what we're finding, but we also want to be able to hear from you. Any comments or questions or encouragement in that? So elderteam@rockharbor.tv. Today, we are in our last week of Begin Again as we've studied through Philippians 3. So if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to turn there. And today, the emphasis on beginning again is beginning new in community. We all have relationships. We all have friendships. We have people around us. Maybe you're newer to this area or newer maybe to Rock Harbor Church, or maybe you're looking to change some of the relationships that you have. Because here's why. Community really, really matters. And if we're going to press towards this upward call, as we see in verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, we need to have the right people next to us in that journey. So verse 13, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This press on, it's comes from a root of a word to hunt something fervently, okay? So if you're any hunters in there, you're not going to just give up, or you're not going to just take maybe the first thing that you see. You're looking for the one, and you're on that hunt to press on for this upward high calling of Christ Jesus. But we have to do something, right? We have to not focus on what's behind us. We need to focus on what's ahead of us. Let's live for eternity. Like, I love what God has done, but I live for what he's going to do. I have some things in my past that aren't always good, that are maybe painful or difficult things, things that were done to you or things that you made a decision, you made a poor choice, but it's like, yes, that happened, but there's a story that God is writing in the future. There's a different understanding of the trial that you went through as we press forward. I loved at worship night on Tuesday, man, a full house on a cold, icy night, but to have the stories that were shared. We had a video. There was multiple people in this segment talking about how, yes, this happened, but here's how the Lord is using it. A young man in the porch ministry, Josh, who shared, yes, this is what happened. I walked through some tough times, but this is what God is doing. Like, yes, there's a different understanding. We can change the meaning of the past. God can redeem the past. I love what he's done, but I can't wait for what he's going to do. To really have that future focus is that upward call. This last weekend when we didn't have in-person services and we get here early, we're doing some different things, we had 14 people slip and slide their way here to be baptized. Can we celebrate that? 14 people. One of them spinning out, got to get pushed out there at the entrance right there off of a tree farm. But man, all to Jesus, they surrendered. We baptized them in the snow, brought them in, and then dunked them here in the horse trough. And so it's just a typical Idaho baptism. And it was great, man. We're here. The stories are being said, shared the moment that we're having, some family in the room. We get done, we're kind of cleaning things up, we're heading out, and I'm walking out the front door, and I'm seeing the people that didn't check the app. And I'm seeing the people, I gave up social media to start the new year, and I didn't know we didn't have church. And I was like, good decision, but read your email, you know. And so we talk about this, and I'm like, hey, you know, you can stick around for the next service. What would Jesus do? And they're like, Jesus wouldn't have canceled church. So I was like, okay, have a great day. There's other churches. Get out of here. But as I walk into my truck, I get over there, and then there's somebody that's coming up. I'm like, dude, this is the third person that's trying to come to the 11:30. And if they would have came to 9:45 at 11:30, and I'm like waving, I'm like, hey, we don't have a church, awkward pastor guy, you know. And I'm going to get in my pickup, and they kind of look, and I kind of step out, and I'm like, what's up? They roll the window down. I'm like, oh, they want to talk. They don't want to talk. Ugh, get in the car. And then they pull around me, you know, in this big old rig. And I was like, oh. And then they rolled the window down. They're like, no church. I'm like, no. And they're like, man, I should download the app, you know. I'm like, hey, it's all good. We start talking, like, how are things? And he starts talking about his marriage, starts talking about life. The emotions are starting to come out. And I'm like, hey, dude, can I jump in the truck with you? And he goes, don't usually say yes to guys jumping in my truck. But, yeah, go ahead and get on in. You seem trustworthy. You guys have cameras. Yeah, jump in. And so hop in. And I'm like, we just start talking. He received Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior right there in the moment in the parking lot. Yeah. God is always working. God's always working. He didn't want to be defined by the past. We're praying for the marriage. We're praying for the family. We're praying for what he's walking through. But to know, like, God sees you and he knows what's been. But he also has something that's just, it's only something that he could do in your life. And when you think about beginning again, as we've talked in this series, let's begin first with him. Let's begin again with new decisions around character. And let's begin again with the community that we're surrounded with. And sometimes the community that we're surrounded with takes us to a place that we never would have imagined. Because there's an upward calling. You know, there's a community that's headed upwards. There's a community that's headed up towards the things of God. When this verse says an upward calling of God, this is a divine calling. It's anoklesos, a calling, a divine call. It's a calling that's filled up. It's above the brim. It's all the way up. God has something incredible for you. Look for people with that in their life where they have a divine direction. They have a devoted direction. It's a direction of devotion. They're following Jesus. Listen to the communal language that we can hear in verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. This example, like, there are people that are walking. Keep your eyes on it. People that have a divine devotion, they're walking upward. They're growing in their relationship with God. They're taking you somewhere. We're always following someone. For me, the following has drastically changed in one area of my life. I raised my boys to backpack. Our family loves being outdoors. My wife and I were going backpacking, we never took like three kids at a time. That's called child abuse and parental fail 101 and misery. It's also called misery. But I thought, the boys are 8 years old. We've been going on hikes and all this. Let's go on a 21-mile loop in the Sawtooths. And so we just went all in. I'm like, you guys think you want to go to Disney or you want to walk around? Your legs don't hurt when we're doing those kind of things. Let's see if your legs hurt in the mountains of God's creation. So we just took off. You know, we're just going, and I'm carrying half their stuff anyways. But I was telling them, as well, every step matters, guys. Every step matters. And I'm teaching them. They're just following me step by step. I'm there first so that they don't get too far ahead. And they're just like, okay. And they're just excited. And they've got all the, you know, kitty things. And they're getting pocket knives that mom doesn't even know about. Like, I'm giving them, like, paraphernalia, you know, for real man stuff. And we're out there just having a blast. And now I follow them. See, I've liked duck hunting. I've done it a little bit. But they are addicted. Like, I'm like, hey, we got some shells in here somewhere. Kind of like the shotgun I had in the back of my car in high school. Just drove around with them. I lived in Kansas. You never know what you was going to come up on. I'm talking like animals and rodents and varmints, you know, and rabbits and pheasants in season, out of season. You know, we own the land, whatever. We were living off of it. That was my brother, by the way. He also shot the state bird. But anyways, I think it's past that time. It was an accident, but anything that moved. But, you know, now they take me everywhere, and I just follow them. I'm like, hey, what, do we got shells? I got some granola bars, you know, and they're just like, I'm just following the sled. You know, they're trekking it in, and I'm just following. It's changed. I used to be the one that was like, guys, we need this. I'll carry this for you. Now they're carrying things for me. I act like I have an injury. Like, dude, my hammy's killing me. They're like, okay, Dad, I'll pull a little bit more. I'm like, okay. They haven't figured that out. Don't tell them they're not this service. Okay, so the following shifts, and when you're in a discipleship relationship and you're heading in a certain way, you can learn from someone who's ahead of you, and you can also learn from somebody who may be newer in their faith because your heart's open. You never know what the Lord's going to show you, and that's true discipleship. Jesus was the only one that was perfect. So when it says, like, look for people you can follow, look for people that you can walk with, loving and leading, arm in arm with one another. We're in this together, one another. Look for people that you can race together. Look for people that you can live this life to the fullness of all that God wants for you, the upward call. There are people. There is a community that's heading upward, but not all communities are. You know why? Because one, there is a spiritually minded community. What that means is you're going to look at earth from a heaven's point of view, but there's an earthly minded community that's going to look at this earth and look at man and make it the center of our attention. So we have to be warned because there's that second community, a community that's headed away. There's one that's headed up, there's one that's headed away. And it's mentioned in verse 18. For many of whom I often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul's not speaking to just people who haven't ever heard of Jesus or people who had no relationship with Christ. He's talking about people who once walked with you, who are no longer walking with you in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he's saying with tears. This should be emotional for us. This should be personal for us. Maybe you were that person that someone prayed diligently for that you would come back to Jesus Christ. That you would humble yourself and submit to Jesus Christ as the authority of your life. When I say that you would surrender your life to him, that you would no longer be about your way, it would be God's way. And it's with tears. It's not with judgment. It's with tears. It's with emotions. I remember when they were closer. And for you, there may be someone who walked with you in step when you were a student in high school. They walked with you in step in college, or you see them walking towards a community that's headed away. What will you do with that? How will you call them into relationship? How will you call them back to an upward calling? It's ultimately the Lord's work. It's ultimately them submitting, but what are we going to do with this? It's with tears, allowing the world to take over one's life. They're not just in a world, they're of a world. We're supposed to be in the world, not of the world, but they're of the world. They went from simply like having things to and owning things to like, oh, things own them. It's not just having and owning some things. No, these things own them and the things of the world. It's beset them. Verse 19 says, the end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with mindset on earthly things. Their God is their belly. And they crave the things of this earth. They crave self-satisfaction. They crave the things that sound good to them, that other people in this world might have. There's a longing for the things of this world when we're supposed to set our minds on things that are above, not things that are on this earth. It's a focus on culture. And I crave what the culture has. I crave the experience that this world has to offer. I'm craving pleasure, and cynicism's creeped in. And there's an arrogance. There's a higher level of living that could be desired upon this earth. Let's take this earth for everything that it's worth rather than humbly submitting and surrendering to Jesus Christ as Lord and letting him lift you up. There's a battle that's going on. It's going on for your heart. It's going on for your soul. It's going on for my heart. It's going on for my soul. It's going on for my home and the house that I'm to protect. This, yes, my body's a temple of God. Your body is a temple of God, but your home, what are you allowing in your home? Who are you allowing in your home? Who are you allowing community? Well, I kind of need to be around. We've always hung out with these people. And I just want you to know it's going to get pretty serious. We're going to receive communion in a little bit, and a portion of us being made right with God is looking at our homes, looking at the sin that's in our life and what we've allowed ourselves to be around. So when we receive communion, like, I don't want a single bit of sin in my house. Relationships that are toxic, relationships that are broken. The Bible talks about these things. Yes, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, but right before that, rewind five verses, you're going to see works of the flesh. It's a hard list to read. It's a list that you don't have kids memorize that in like kids' church. No, they memorize the fruit of the Spirit. But it would behoove us to give a little bit more time to the works of the flesh. Here's why. Listen to this. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. This is Galatians 5:19. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Have you allowed these things to creep into your home? Have you allowed these things to creep into your heart? Whether an influence online, whether an influence through media, whether an influence through what we watch, the things that we do, is our house really clean before the Lord? The thing, we can't control everything. Man, if you just knew what they talked about at work, like, we can't control everything, but we can limit some things. And there are some things we can allow or not allow, and there are some practices that we can say no to. We don't have to say yes to everything. This is not Keith getting like super legalistic. This is us saying, what does God's word say? And does this bring, if it's God and evil, it's light, it's dark. It's heaven, it's hell. You're either a follower or not following. You either are repenting, which means a 180-degree turn. We have to look at this list. We have to look at these things. And if we're supposed to set our mind on the things above, an upward call, there's always going to be a community that's being drawn away. Of which community are you? You would say, oh, of course, man. Of course I'm a community that's headed upwards. Well, what's the community around you? What's the practices that have become common? See, we're surrounded by toxicity, poison. The Bible over and over will say things like beware, be cautious, heed, listen, listen, listen. Toxic, anything containing poisonous material capable of causing serious sickness or even death. Anything poisonous. Oh, it's just a little bit of poison. It's not enough to kill you, but it could cause sickness. Are you relationally sick in any way? Is there a broken, sickness that's running through the community that surrounds you that you may not promote, you may not create, but it's there and it's influencing you, and that's what's taking place. There's a proximity that can happen in toxic and sinful relationships. This reason the church in Galatia was written, it was written to, is because there were people that had walked away. There were people that they looked as much like the world. Like, you couldn't tell the difference between those who knew Jesus and walked with Jesus and surrendered their life to Jesus and those who had once done it or were opposed to him, because it all became one. And we try to compartmentalize, and you realize, like, you those little file folders that keep it, you know, separate, and you try to put papers in each, you pour liquid in each compartment, it just runs together on the bottom and then runs out. Like, we can't keep this stuff separate. And that's what sin does. It infiltrates every area of our life. So this list, I don't know if there's some sick, toxic relationships or some community that's headed away that needs to be identified and turned from. Are you around or are you negative and gossiping? Because it says strife. Are you a jealous person? Are you around angry people? People that just go off on stuff and it's funny, man. They just have a short fuse, or it's funny. Like, is it sinful? Are you divisive or You sow dissension? Well, I don't mean to. Well, do you say things to other people that you haven't said to the person? Try to bring something against their character. Hey, I'm just going to say this. Like, you know how, or statements like, you know how they are. Like, these are divisions. Be around community that's always tempting you to do something or take it from the next level, or it's not just one thing, it's this next thing. When the Bible talks about not even a hint of sexual immorality, have you allowed perverse talking? Have we allowed, like, so oh, it's just a joke. Is it God-honoring? And maybe you're a safe person, and so someone's like, hey, you're a safe person for me, so I want to tell you this sexual sin that I'm involved in. I want to tell you, but you're aiding and abetting a person that has absolutely violated their marriage or violating their purity. Maybe they're not married, but they're like doing these things, but you're like, you're a safe person. They need someone to talk to so they can offload a little bit of the guilt and the shame that they might have about something, but you're not doing anything to maybe draw them closer to Jesus Christ. And this isn't something that I'm just flippantly talking about. This is something that I have heard about, that I have been involved in. These are things that, hey, don't say anything. I just need someone to talk to. But then not willing to repent and turn from that, to prayerfully have the marriage restored, have the relationship restored, have the purity restored. But instead, it's like, I'm being a safe person. Well, have we walked away from truth? And how can we do that in a way that's loving? Drunkenness. For some, maybe saying like, absolutely, like it's been a struggle, or I've had a propensity towards addiction or to alcoholism or to some type of a substance. But then others not realizing drunkenness, like how often is there consuming? And what is a liberty? This is not me going, hey, it's not a liberty. This is, alcohol is absolutely a liberty. But I would also say that there are times that it should not be even a liberty and we should absolutely say no, depending on who's present, depending on what's going on, depending on how often is it become something that is a crutch, has it become something that it's a numbing? I don't want to feel this or experience this, or I just want to chill. Remember, the greatest of these is idolatry when we made ourselves the focus. The spiritual mindset is looking at the earth from a heavenly position, not looking at ourselves from a centered, like we're on the throne. A vice that begins to take over, that consumes. These are things that we, and it's not just like whether we are doing these things, but are we around these things? Well, I'm not doing them. I'm trying to make it safe for them to say, you know what? I'm going to flee this type of action and behavior. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That does not mean do not hang out with non-believers. That does not mean if you're a Christian, you know, never hang out with anybody that doesn't know Jesus. Absolutely not. Look at what Jesus did. Hanging out with, whether it be a prostitute or tax collector or all the different types of people, people that were violent in their actions, but he came in and loved. What does it say? It says, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with dark? Be in the world, not of the world, is what it's saying. The problem is when there's no difference between the light and the dark. It's all just gray. It's called inversion. Welcome to a two-week period that you will see, and we have seen our portion at the end of last year, and you'll see it again, just a little bit. Some of you are going to look for the highest mountain to get to, and some of you will be in Scottsdale. Watching online and giving online. Anyways, but relationships matter greatly. They really do. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. If your friend's going to jump off a cliff, are you going to jump off onto you? You know, but like literally look at who you're around and who you give your attention and what are the things you really long in your heart for and how much influence is that having? How much proximity are we giving to that? Because in community, we're supposed to have a clean house. And biblical community is clean homes and clean lives and clean hearts because we're awaiting the master coming home. And just a few verses later in 2 Corinthians, it says, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Let's confess. Let's repent. Let's make right. Now, here's the thing. I have one more point and portion. I want to read the rest of Philippians 3 that we've studied over the last 4 weeks. But I want to take a moment right now because this is the message. The message is, what are we going to do with this? The message isn't like, hey, I love that song. The point that God brings us to is, yes, to corporately worship, but to go, am I going to leave different? What if this church today, what if everybody that joins us online or everybody that joins us in this room said, you know what? I want to repent. And we walk out individually more holy than when we came in. We felt conviction. We felt like, oh my goodness. We felt the pressure of like, I know the relationship that I feel like he's yelling at it. I feel like Keith is like, I feel like he's looking at me. We know the sin that besets us, and we know the community and the people that we're around, that becomes a propensity for gossip or sin or division or drunkenness or whatever it is. But you're going to say it's Christ and Christ alone. And I want his glory to show. So when we receive communion, we have the bread. And I want to talk about this specific bread for just a moment. This is matzah or matzo. And this is significant because in this is a picture of Jesus Christ because he's the bread of life. In this is a picture of, by his stripes we're healed. There's stripes that is in this Jewish bread. More of a cracker. There are holes punched in it, signifying his body was pierced for us. And there's no yeast in it. And yeast represents sin. So at Passover, it's an unleavened bread. This is an unleavened bread. Because we don't want any sin. And then obviously the blood is the juice that we drink, and it's simply to remember what he's done for us. For some, it's to receive, you're going to receive Jesus as your Savior, not because you received communion, but because you're going to confess sin before God. You're going to repent to the only one that can forgive you, and you're going to surrender your life to him. And some are going to look at their lives and go, man, the way that I've been living is not evident of Jesus Christ in any shape or form. I don't know if I've ever surrendered my life to him, then today would be your day. This would be your moment. This is the most important moment of your entire life, and it's an eternal moment. See, when they would clean the house for Passover and they would get everything ready, they wanted no yeast at all in the house. What that meant, they would sweep the corners. They would take all of it out of the house in the preparation for hopes that even they would even let the dust settle. And do it again because the master's coming back and they want the houses to be ready. We want our hearts to be ready. So what that meant, they would do this and they would take it all out of the house, because if they're baking and they're going to bake the cracker and they're going to bake this unleavened bread so that they can remember what was done in a lamb that was coming, the promised one. And then now that Jesus Christ has come, we do the same thing in our houses, which are the temple of God. Back then, their homes. We don't want any hint of sin in our life. And maybe this time of repentance is around community and what we've allowed in, because you and I are the ones that control the heart and the home of ourselves. And it's a time to repent. It's a time to be made right. So take the next little bit while this song is shared to reflect and receive communion as you're prepared. I'm going to come back out and share an incredible piece of hope that comes in forgiveness and repentance of sin. So take the next few moments. Lord, we thank you so much. You sent the very best gift in your only son, and you did so in a way, and the way that scripture, you've illustrated it for us, and to better understand what it means to have your son pierced and striped, beaten, the bread of life, and he was sinless. Let us repent of that sin, and he was the perfect offering. Let us receive that salvation that comes from him alone. God, we praise you because we know for some they've repented, they've been set free. For some, they've began a relationship with you in this moment right now. And God, for all of us, that as a community, we would aim toward that upward calling. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The last portion that I would like to share is there's not just a community that's headed upward and sadly one that's headed away. I pray that we have stood in the way today. We put a roadblock up and said, don't go any further. Stop now. Turn back. Danger is there. I pray that that's taken place today. The last community is that one that's awaiting us. A community awaiting. It's the community of heaven that you're a citizen of if you're in Jesus Christ. Verse number 20. It says, but our citizenship, look at the communal language. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. It's about us, because of him. You are a resident. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're a citizen of heaven. There's actually a book mentioned in Philippians 4. It's called the Book of Life, where your name is recorded there because you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's your citizenship. It's your residence. You are to abide there on earth as it is in heaven. We're to live fully towards that. Our names are in heaven's record. And there's a place that we're all going when we die. It's either heaven or it's either hell. And in Christ, it's in heaven. And it also says when you confess Christ on the earth, guess what? He confesses your name in heaven. Matthew 10, your name is written down. Luke 10, and it's written down in the Greek once and for all written and stands written. There ain't no change in it. God does not go back on his promise. You can't have your citizenship revoked because you didn't perform. No, you didn't, and I didn't deserve it anyways because of our sin. But because of Jesus Christ, that's our home. We actually belong there. So we need to live as if we're going there. We need to live that upward call. We need to recognize when things are drawing us away. But there's a community that awaits us. There's eternity, and nothing matters greater than what we do for eternity. Here's a simple next step for us as a church body. Get in biblical community. That means get in a community group. Get in a community group on the next step card. There's an opportunity to sign up and say, I want to be in a community group. I want to be at Gather and Go. In just a couple weeks, we'll have Gather and Go. And that's that step. Some of you, you've been community group leaders in the past. You can start a group by sneezing. You can sneeze and you have 10 people at your house. You're like, bless you. And you're like, let's open the Bible. Yeah, I mean, it's simple. It's that simple. Some of you are great at hosting. Maybe you're like, hey, I don't want to lead the Bible study, but we can use my house. That can be found out at Gather and Go. That can be found out in your community. If we wait for everybody to show up at this certain time to all of a sudden get into community, like you can be in a group by the end of today. I want to discuss, like maybe some of you are going like, I need different friendships. I'm new here. I'm looking for connection. I need to revamp the influences I've allowed in my life. Do it. Men. February 6th, early morning, 300 plus guys gathering together to study the Bible together, stepping into community. Whatever it looks like, don't go a day longer. There's an upward call of Christ. There's a community that awaits us, and you belong here. You belong here. God gave his only son. He died for his church, it says in his scripture. Belonging, we are growing people. This is us as a church. We are growing people, marriages, families that will thrive, not just survive. It's our desire to see you thrive in community that draws you and prepares you. Hey, on earth as it is in heaven, let's begin that now.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.